The fifth parak starts out with two mishnayos dealing with somebody who wants to consecrate the fetus, the ubar, inside of an animal. Mishnah Aleph starts out with that of a bechor. A bechor, we've seen before, is an animal. It's a firstborn male of certain types of kosher animals, and it is given to the Kohen, assuming that it does not have a mum. The Kohen brings it as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. If it does have a mum, it still goes to the Kohen, but he simply shachs it as a normal chulin animal. It doesn't get brought as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. So what we're going to talk about in Mishnah Aleph here is if somebody wants to avoid giving that animal that is a bechor, that is going to be a bechor, it's not born yet, but he wants to avoid giving it to the Kohen, can he consecrate it in utero while it is still a fetus for use as a different type of korban? So the Mishnah says as follows, Ketzan ma'arimim ala bechor. How can we be tricky? How can we be clever when it comes to a bechor? Once this animal is born, if it's a male, it's going to be a bechor. The Pasuk says in talking about a bechor, peter rechem, the opening of the womb, it's only on birth that that animal has the kedusha of bechor. So what we're talking about in this Mishnah is you can be clever, and while in utero it doesn't have the status of a bechor, and accordingly the person can say, I am being makdish this ubar, I am being makdish this fetus, for use as a different type of korban. So it says as follows, Ketzemar mimel abachor, how can we be clever and avoid giving this animal that may be a bechor, if it's a male when born, avoid giving it to the kohen, mevakeres, if we have a animal, a female animal that is giving birth for the first time, has never given birth, because the bechor only applies to the firstborn male, shaisa miuberes, and she is currently expecting. And the owner says as follows, Omer Masha b'me'az shal zo im zachar ola. The person makes the following statement, this fetus inside of the mother, if it is upon birth a male, it will be a korban ola. So he's saying that now while still in utero, so it's not considered a bechor yet until birth. So he's kind of jumping the gun here and saying it's going to be a korban ola before it has the status on birth of being a bechor. Accordingly, this is going to be effective. Yalda zachar, if indeed upon birth it is a male, so it otherwise would have been a bechor, yikrav ola, it is brought as a korban ola because the person made that statement. That's called a harama, being clever. That's why it says, ketzem arimim, how can we be a little bit tricky? How can we be clever in order to accomplish something? So this is going to be effective. If the person says, v'im nekeva zivchei shlamim, now this is important. He's saying if it is giving birth to a nekeva, we cannot be talking about if when this mother who is giving birth the first time, if she gives birth to a nekeva, we're not talking about a bechor anymore, because a bechor only applies when a mother, a first-time mother, gives birth to a baby boy animal, not a female. So the Bartanur explains that it's talking about other types of kodshim, not talking about in the context of a bechor anymore. And the person has, for example, this is the example from the Bar Tanura, that this can work for other types of kodshim. If you have a mother as a chatas, now truth be told, we can't bring a korban chatas from a female, only a male. So it did happen, we saw it in the past, that there are ways still to give a female the status of a chatas, but it cannot be brought as a korban. And meanwhile, while we have that mother, the female animal that is it was designated as a korban chatas and it became pregnant, so we are able, when it comes to the fetus inside that korban chatas, we are able to readjust it to be used as a different type of korban. We're talking about a korban shlamim in our Mishnah. And the reason why somebody would want to do that is because we have seen before in our Masechta that when you have the offspring of a korban chatas, a female that has the status of a chatas, so the offspring has to be let to die. That's one of the five times that we've seen in our Masechta on a couple of occasions that there's halacha l'moshe misinai, that when you have a certain case of a korban chatas, it has to be sequestered and let to die. So the person doesn't want to have that. He has a female, it has the status of a chatas, and it's got pregnant, and it's going to be giving birth. And we have the halacha, when you have a vlad, the offspring of a chatas, lemisa azil, it will be let to die. And he says, I want to avoid that, I'd prefer to bring it as a korban. So that's what we're talking about in our Mishnah. The person makes the following statement about that female chatas, vim nekeva, zivchei shlamim, if it gives birth to a baby female, a baby a baby animal that is a girl, it will be brought as a zivche shlamim, as a korban shlamim. Accordingly, it works just like we saw in the reisha of our Mishnah when it comes to a bechor. You can make that statement. If it's going to be a baby boy, I'm going to bring it not as a bechor, but a korban ola. So to here, the person is making the statement in utero that I'm going to be bringing, if it's a baby girl, I'm going to bring it as a shlamim, yalda nekeva tikrav shlamim. Accordingly, if indeed it does happen that it's a baby girl, then he will bring it as a korban shlamim per the commitment that he made. And now just to complete the Mishnah, we're going to talk about how about if twins are given birth to. So it says as follows, that the person declares, im zachar ola, if this animal, this expecting mother, if she gives birth to a male, it will be a korban ola, im nekeva zivcha shlamim, and if it's a female that's given birth, a female baby, then it will be brought as a korban shlamim, not anticipating that it would be twins. He thought it would be one or the other. If it's a male, it's an ola. If it's a female, it's going to be a shlamim. Yalda zachar nekeva, and unexpectedly, mazel tov and mazel tov, the mother gave birth to both a baby boy and a baby girl. Accordingly, hazachar yikrav ola, the baby boy is going to be brought as a korban ola, v'anekeva tikrav shlamim, and the nekeva will be brought as a korban shlamim. Just as he stated, he didn't expect two, but he did dictate that if it's a male, it'll be an ola, and if it's a female, it'll be a shlamim. Then he had both, so he's going to bring the male as an ola and the female as a shlamim. Mishnah Beis continues in a similar vein, but now we're talking about a mother that is not hekdesh. It's not been designated and consecrated as a korban, but it's chulin. It's just a regular animal. And again, here, the owner says as follows, when that mother is pregnant, but not thereafterwards, so the mother is expecting, and he makes the following statement, im zachar ola im nekeva zivche shlamim, if it is a baby boy, it will be brought as a korban ola, and if it's a baby girl, it will be brought as a korban shlamim. And accordingly, based on that background, Mishnah Beis tells us what happened was, yalda shnei zacharim, unexpectedly, two baby boys were born, and the person said, anticipating only one baby, and it'll be if it's a baby boy, korban ola, and two baby boys were born, but only one of them is going to be a korban ola. That's all he said. One of them will be a korban ola. Accordingly, the problem is we don't know which one is the korban ola and which is going to be a non-korban ola. It's going to be a chulin animal, non-sanctified animal. So yalda shnei zacharim, if we have two baby boys emerge, echad mehem yikrav ola, one of them has to be brought as a korban ola. He made that commitment. But the second one, we don't know if we're bringing the right one as a korban ola or not. We don't know which is which. Accordingly, the second one also has to be used as a korban ola. Vasheni yimacher lechai ve'ola. The second one is going to be sold to somebody else who needs to bring a korban ola. So in effect, the owner is going to bring one of them as a korban ola. Somebody else is going to bring the second one as a korban ola. And what's going to happen with the money that the owner receives when he sells it to that second person? Vidama chulin, that money will not be sanctified. It's going to be regular money that he'll be able to use as he so desires, because he's selling one of the animals. One of his fundamentally is an ola, one is not. So effectively, he's selling the one that is not a korban ola. He's receiving monies for that. So accordingly, the money will not be sanctified. And similarly, yalda shtei nekevos, if when he made that statement, again, the mother is chulin, it's not hekdesh, and he made the statement, if this expecting chulin animal gives birth, if it's a baby boy, it's a ola, if it's a baby girl, it's going to be a korban shlamim, and it gave birth to two baby girl animals. So the same thing as we saw before, achas man tikrav shlamim, one of them is going to be brought by the owner as a korban shlamim, bashnia timacha the chayve shlamim, and the second one is going to be sold, because we don't know which one is the shlamim, which isn't. So the owner is going to bring one as a shlamim, and is going to sell the second one to somebody else who needs to bring a korban shlamim, so they'll both be brought as a korban shlamim, v'tameh ha-chulin, however, the money is not going to be sanctified, it's going to be regular chulin money. What happens in the situation, yalda tumtum v'anadriganus, if instead of giving birth to a baby boy or a baby girl or two baby boys or two baby girls, the animal gave birth to a tumtum? A tumtum is an animal that we cannot tell the gender because the gender is covered up by a thick membrane. Or gave birth, alternatively, it's not both, but or the androgynous is an animal, could be a person as well, that has both male and female reproductive organs. So is it a male? Is it a female? Is it both? So in that situation where the person had said, If it's a baby boy, I'm going to give the korban, the animal, as an ola. If it's a baby girl, I'm going to give it as a shlamim. But it gave birth to either a tum tumar and druganus, Rabbi Shimon Megamliel Omer, in kedusha chal alayim. There's going to be no kedusha. There's no, going to be no sanctification. The rationale, Rabbi Shimon Megamliel agrees with the view that we saw in the first Mishnah, that the kedusha of a korban only comes when the baby is born. Only when the baby is born. So there was no pre-existing kedusha on the offspring, on the uber, on the fetus, while in utero. And when it was born, we already cannot tell if it's a girl or a boy. It's not a boy or a girl. It's a tum tumah androgynous. Accordingly, there is going to be no kedusha on it because it's neither a boy nor a girl, but it's a tum tumah androgynous. Now, that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, because there's only kedusha on that animal when it is born. However, the sheet of Chachamim, they disagree with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. They are of the view that when somebody sanctifies an uber, a fetus, the kedusha starts immediately in utero. It doesn't wait to have giving birth. So accordingly, they would not agree that there's no kedusha. There is going to be kedusha on the animal, even though when it emerges, when it's given birth, it's a tum tumah androgynous. But the kedusha happened earlier on, before the development of that fetus into a tum tumah androgynous. So accordingly, there is going to be kedusha when that animal is born. Mishnah Gimel deals with a situation that we have a pregnant chulin animal, so it's a non-sanctified animal, and the person who owns it wants to sanctify the mother and the fetus separately for different uses of korbanos. So the Mishnah says as follows, that the order matters. If you first say the fetus and thereafter the mother, that will be effective. Ha-omer, somebody who has this pregnant chulin animal, and he says as follows, vladosha zo'ola, the fetus is going to be for a korban ola, and thereafter what he says, vihi shlamim, and the mother is going to be a korban shlamim. So he took care of the fetus first. Accordingly, when he says that the mother will be a shlamim, it's not going to make the fetus a shlamim, because the fetus has already been committed to be a korban ola. Accordingly, dvarav kayamim, this is going to be effective, and that fetus will have to go as a korban ola, and the mother will go as a korban shlamim. But what happens if you reverse the order? And this is when it's going to get a little bit more complicated. And he said, he shlamim. First, he said, the mother. This mother is going to be a korban shlamim. And thereafterward, he said, uvlada ola, and the fetus is going to be a korban ola. So Rebbe Meir is of the view that we go after tfos lashon rishon. We go after the first thing you say. Said, and immediately when this owner of this animal said that the mother is going to be a shlamim, that made not only the mother of the shlamim, but the fetus as well a shlamim, not an ola. And accordingly, harezo vlad shlamim, the fetus as well will be a shlamim. It is going to be the offspring, the vlad shlamim, it is going to be a shlamim as well. So the vlad, the fetus, is going to go as a korban shlamim as well because of tfos lashon rishon. That is divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. We'll see, he kind of disagrees in part. And he says, we don't always go after tfos lashon rishon. You have to look at the intention of the individual when he made this commitment. We'll say it outside first, and then we'll say it inside. If when he said that the mother is going to be a shlamim, he was already intending that the vlad is going to be, the offspring is going to be an ola. So when he said he shlamim, the mother's a shlamim, he simply couldn't say two things at the same time, but he knew he wanted the vlad to be an ola. If that's the case, it is going to be effective to make the mother shlamim and the vlad an ola. His language we're going to follow. However, when he said he shlamim, that the mother is going to be a korban shlamim, at that time he wasn't thinking about the vlad. He wasn't intending for the vlad to be an ola. And accordingly, in that instance, we are going to say that the vlad will be an ola, will be a shlamim as well. We'll see it inside now. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says as follows, im lechein niskave mitchila, if he indeed intended at the beginning when he was saying that the mother is going to be a shlamim, he already intended that the vlad will be an ola, ho il v'yafshali krosh nei shemas kachan, and he simply couldn't say both of those at the same time. But he knew what he wanted to do. He wanted the mother to be a shlamim and the vlad an ola. Dvar of kayamim, that is going to be effective, and the vlad is going to go as an ola. And we have the phrase here, what we go after, we're not tfos lashon rishon only, but af begmar dvar of adam nitfas. We will also go after the second thing that he said, the last thing that he said. And accordingly, because he had it in mind initially that the vlad is going to be an ola, we are going to respect that, even though that statement that the vlad is going to be an ola came afterward. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yosef, Imi Sha'amar, Harezo Shlamim, however, when he said about the mother that the mother is going to be a Shlamim, at that point he changed his mind and he decided, Limlach, Va'amar Vlad Ola, right at that point he said that I'm going to make the Vlad an Ola. So when he said the mother's a Shlamim, that included the Vlad already. The offspring is already going to be a shlamim. Harezo Vlad Shlamim, that is Vlad, that offspring is also going to be a shlamim. The Bartuna explains that you can't change your mind. When it comes to Hekdesh, there's certain things that you can't change your mind. Once you say it, it's going to be effective. So his Chazara, his changing his mind, once he already said that the mother is going to be a shlamim, that is going to be ineffective, even if he changes his mind, toch kedei dibor, even if he says it immediately, he changes his mind, it doesn't matter. We're going to go tfos lashon rishon, we're going to go by his first intention, which was he shlamim, because he didn't intend at that point that the vlad is going to be an ola. So accordingly, not only is the mother going to be a shlamim, but the offspring is going to be a shlamim as well. Mishnah Dala deals with an interesting situation that somebody has two korbanos in front of him. We'll use the example of a korban ola and a separate korban shlamim. And he says, I am going to make a tmura. He has a third animal, and he's going to use that third animal to be a tmura on both of those combined. What is going to happen in that instance? Because you can't really have a tmura combination in one animal of an ola and shlamim. They have different halachas. So Mishnah Dalit says as follows, Hareza tmuras ola tmura shlamim. This animal, this third animal that I have, it's going to be a tmura for those, for the ola that I have here and the shlamim that I have here. The Mishnah says, Hareza tmuras ola divrei Rabbi Meir. It's only going to be, that third animal is only going to be a tmura on the ola, not the tmura on the shlamim. This is Rabbi Meir we saw in the prior Mishnah that says, Tfos lashon rishon, we're going to go after your first language. First thing that comes out of your mouth is what's going to be effective. And accordingly, because he initially said, Hareza tmuras ola, this animal, this third animal is going to be a tmura on the ola, then, accordingly, that third animal is going to be a tmura only on the ola and not a tmura on the shlamim. That is the view of Rabbi Meir. Tfos lashon rishon, we go verses, we go after the first language that comes out of your mouth. And Amar Rabbi Yossi, as we saw in the prior Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says, it depends. Im lechein niskave mitchilef, indeed, that was your intention. When you said hareza tmura ola, you had intended from the get-go, you had intended from the beginning that this third animal is going to be a tmura, not only for the ola, but also a tmura with the shlamim as well. Hoil v'yashal ikra shnei shemos ka'achas. You simply couldn't say that at the same time, but that was always your intention. Dvarav kayamim, that will be effective. In other words, that animal, that third animal, that tmura animal is going to be a tmura half and half. Part of it is going to be a tmura on a korban ola, and part of it is going to be a tmura on a korban shlamim. That is what you intended from the beginning. That is what we are going to go with. And accordingly, what you have to do is you have to wait till that animal, that tmura animal, has a mum. You're going to let it graze, and once it has a permanent blemish, you're going to sell it. And what you're going to do is you're going to take half the money and buy a smaller shlamim. Well, first you're going to buy either order. You're going to use half of the money for an ola and half of the money for the shlamim. They're going to be smaller animals because it's half the money. And that is going to fulfill the requirements because he made it a tmura. He made it a tmura on both the ola and the shlamim. So he has to split the money 50-50 and buy each of them. On the other hand, and this is continuating, just like we saw in the prior Mishnah, the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, V'im Misha Amar, Tmuras Ola, if once he said, and only once he said, that this third animal is going to be a tmura for the Ola, at that point, Nimlach, he changed his mind, and he said, Va'amar Tmura Shlamim, and he added on against his initial thought, oh, it's also going to be a tumura of Ashlamim. In that instant, Hareza Tumura Solo, we're only going to go after his first language. He cannot change his mind at that point, even Tochkedei Dibur, even immediately. That is a unique halacha as it applies to Hekdesh and also certain other things as well. That once you say something, once you say Tumura Solo and you weren't intending, and there afterward you change your mind and you add on a Tumura Ashlamim, then we are going to only say that this third animal is going to be a Tmura of the Ola and not the Tmura of Ashlamim as well. Mishnah Hey, and thereafter Mishnah Vav, focus on the language that is necessary in order to make a Tmura. And we're going to have three different examples of when a Tmura is going to be effective. And the concept here is that when somebody tries to substitute B for A, that is an attempt to make a Tmura, and accordingly that will be an effective Tmura, such that A will maintain its Hekdesh status, and B will also have Hekdesh status. So here are the three examples. Harezo Tachazo. If somebody says, I am making B in place of A, I'm trying to substitute B in place of A, accordingly A is going to stay Hekdesh, and B will also become Hekdesh. That's one example. Or if he says that this B will Tmura Zo, will be a substitution for A, or Khalifa Zo, it'll be again a different form of substitution. Hareza Tmura, all of these are attempts to make B a substitute in the place of A, and accordingly B will be a Tmura, and A's status of Hekdesh will maintain itself. On the other hand, if somebody uses a language that is not a substitution, but he attempts to deconsecrate A, he attempts to redeem A, and only have B be A, so it's not a substitution language, but it's a deconsecration. You're redeeming the Kedusha of A. He says as follows, Zo mechuleles azo, Zo, he's talking about A, will be mechulal, will be deconsecrated, and the Kedusha will be on B. Ain a tmura, that does not make a tmura, and that means that A stays as its Hekdesh, and B will stay chulin. It will not become Hekdesh. So that is not effective language. On the other hand, there is going to be an instance that it will be effective. Imahaya Hekdesh Balmum. If the A animal, which was Hekdesh, it was a Balmum and has a permanent blemish such that you are unable to bring it as a korban. In that instance, somebody is able to be poded. What we were just talking about before, that it's not going to be effective when you're trying to deconsecrate A. That's talking about an A that doesn't have a mum. So because it's an animal, it's Hekdesh, it has to be brought as a korban, there's no way to redeem it. However, if A is a baal mum, and then the person used that language that he wants to be mechulal, he wants to deconsecrate the A, the baal mum A, onto B. In that instance, says the Mishnah of Yimhaya Hekdesh baal mum, yotze lechulin, the A is going to become deconsecrated, it will become chulin, and B will be in its stead now. And what's interesting is, on a Daraisa level, that's the case even if B is worth a lot less than A. So A, because it has a baal mum, he now is redeeming the Kedusha from A onto B. B is in place of A. B has the Kedusha, even if its value is much lower. But Chazal, on a rabbinic level, said, Vitzarek Lasos Damim, but you have to make the Hekdesh whole. So if, for example, A was worth $100, and B, but it has a mum, so you can't use it as a korban, and A is worth $100, but it has a mum, so you can't bring it, and he says, I am being coded the Kedusha onto B, so B is now Hekdesh, and that is the case even if B is only worth $1, but Chazal said, you're going to have to make the Hekdesh whole. $99 donation is what you're going to have to give, so that the Hekdesh, the base of Mikdash, is not losing out. Mishnah Vav continues, what language is necessary in order to make a Tmura, and we're going to see the major principle that when somebody is making a Tmura, so he's replacing B, substituting B for A, it has to be that there is a specific A that he is attempting to substitute for it. But if there's no specific A, then B will not become a Tmura. So the Mishnah says as follows, Harei Zo, I am making B a Tmura Tachas Chatas in place of a Korban Chatas, but he doesn't say which animal that is already a Korban Chatas. So it's just generic and vague. V'tachas Olo, I'm using this B. He's specific on the B, but he's not specific on the A. He just says it's going to be in place of a Korban Olah, and he doesn't say which animal of a Korban Olah. Lo Amar Klum, that is not going to be effective, because to make a Tmura, You need to be specific as to which egg you're attempting to make a substitution on. On the other hand, what is going to be effective if he says, Tachas chatazo, this bee that I am making a tmura on, it's going to be in place of this specific animal. The animal is right there in place of this chatas, v'tachas ola, zo, or in place of this ola. This time he's saying zo, this specific one, that is going to be effective. And continuing other times that it will be effective, tachas chatas, v'tachas ola sheyesh li b'soch habayis, if he says it's going to be in place of the chatas that I have in my house, or in place of the ola that I have in my house, hayalo, and he did, indeed, he does have a specific, either a chatas or ola in his house, dvar of kayamim, that is going to be effective, and B will become a tmura because A was specific. Now we're going to end off the perek about a non-tmura halacha. This is not tmura, but rather regular hektesh halacha im amar al behemat me. If somebody says about a behemat me, a non-kosher animal, or val balas mum, or a kosher animal, but it has an invalidating blemish such that it cannot be brought as a korban, and he says hare elu ola, and he says this one or that one or both of them, they are going to be a korban ola lo amar klum. He has not said anything because you cannot make a non-kosher animal into an ola or a balas mum. You cannot say an animal that cannot be brought as a korban ola that is going to be a korban ola. So it's not going to be effective, and they will maintain their non hektesh status. On the other hand, if you change the language just a little bit and he says hare elu le'ola, if he says that this non-kosher animal is going to be le'ola, not that it itself is going to be an ola, but it's going to be for an ola, or this balas mum, this blemished animal, kosher animal, is going to be for an ola, he's not saying that he's going to bring them as an ola directly, but he will use the funds. So it's going to be an indirect use of those animals. I'm going to use it on behalf of an ola. What you have to do then is you sell the animal or the two animals, however many it is, the treif animal, the bal mum animal, sell it, yiviyavi b'demeyam ola, and you're going to bring with them the money. You're going to use the money, you're going to use that to purchase an ola. So when you say le'ola, it's not directly using the animal, it's indirectly using the animal, and accordingly, even if it's a treif animal, even if it's a bal mum, those can indirectly be used by selling those animals and using the money to buy a korban ola.